What it do, what it does, what it be like. It's your boy, Black Girl, a.k.a. Dr. Oz, and this is the Dr. Zorda's Podcast. Welcome back, what it do. Brought to you, as always, by Haas Entertainment and Enterprises, in collaborations with Vision Sport Management. I know most of the time when you guys see this podcast, I'm either by myself rambling off of the mouth about something, or I have a special guest, usually somebody that I know or grew up with or just been in a circle with as of late. Today, I have a special guest. This person is really more of a pillar in our community here in Eunice. I'm going to try to leave a lot of our future podcasts open to the community because, yeah, I spoke to a couple of people outside of our community, but I want to focus on what's happening where I lay my head at. And this person right here, I mean, just like I said, a pillar. Born and raised in New Orleans, Louisiana, a graduate of McDonald 35, graduate of USL 75, not UL, y'all. All those youngsters, we call it UL Lafayette. We talking USL when it was real. Marines, 1976, former MLK committee. So many things. I could keep listing off accolades. Affectionately known as Mr. Tank, a.k.a. Byron Minor. How you doing, Mr. Minor?
I'm doing great, Brother Earl, and I appreciate you having me on your show. And anytime a young brother, specifically a young African-American brother, is doing something positive, we're going to always support you. And God bless you.
I received that, thankfully. Most people, when they hear me say podcast, they either don't know what it is or they just don't want to speak to the public. If that makes any sense, it's all good. I would say barbershop talk, everybody sitting around chopping it up. But when it comes right to actually spitting that back out, especially folks of my generation or younger, you know, I haven't gotten a lot of feedback there. So I definitely appreciate your time.
Oh, yeah.
I ain't gonna take too much of your time tonight. We're gonna jump straight into it. Kind of give us a little rundown of where you come from, where you've been, and what brings you to this area of good old Eunice, Louisiana.
I'm gonna tell you like this. It's like I tell everybody. In 1975, I was a 19-year-old football player while coming up to USL on a partial scholarship to play football for Augie Tamarello, who they had hired from Arizona, University of Arizona. And I met a young lady that summer when we were in summer ball. Her name was Vianna Darby. And just like I told Jonathan Belton from that shirt that you're wearing, the CEO,
yeah, shout out to Jonathan,
Vision Sports.
Yes, sir.
I said, bruh, I met a young lady who knew how to cook rice and gravy, and 40 years later, I'm still in Acadiana. So it was love at first sight.
I know that's right. It was a wrap.
Yeah. Just like you said about your dad, bless his heart, he's yes, gone sir. To meet the Lord. Well, my wife, 4 years ago, she passed away from cancer, and her memory is still here.
My condolences also.
And every day, you know, I have three kids, two daughters, one son. One of the daughters, the youngest, she's here in Eunice. She's a nurse practitioner. Pediatrics. A son is a welder in Villeplatte, Jonathan Minor. And another daughter, she's the admissions counselor at the University of Dallas, Marissa. So we remember her every day, and all of the breast cancers patients who have been lost and who have survived. We try to do something every day to honor them.
That's right, man. So, God rest her soul, man. I'm glad that the children were able to live very successful lives and keep their mother's honor moving forward. It was the same with my dad, leukemia, cancer kids.
Right.
Yeah, but it's just a wonderful thing to say that you guys were able to have how many years of marriage?
41 years of marriage. Got married in 1979. At Golden Star Baptist Church in Eunice, Louisiana.
Golden Star. That's still going on? They still Golden Star
Reverend
still up, huh?
Hillary Fontenot, who has gone to meet his maker, and Miss Bernice Fontenot, his wife. But, it's still going on right now. I still have a relationship with some of the members. As a matter of fact, one of the members Curtis Lemoyne and Barbara from Elton, Louisiana. Barbara's from Eunice, but Curtis is from Elton.
From Elton, right.
He's a Lemoyne, and we worked together at the casino for almost 15 years together. So you might, you know, your dad's family and...
My mama and dad are definitely from Elton. Want to say, I might be kin to him, man. I'm sure I'm kin to some Lemoyne's. You know how we are down here.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Y'all should be familiar with him. His nephew owns the bar in Elton, the little
yeah,
bar.
Yeah, McArthur's son.
And his nephew's wife just won the mayorship of Elton.
That's right, man. See, shout out to all my folks in Elton. I know y'all gonna be listening. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's history right there, man.
A good piece. So that's what brought you out this way. That's comes full circle, you know, because it's all about, to me, I'm cool with everybody. I like to support everybody. But it, like I said, it's always something about our community. When I say our community, I mean the Black community. I mean the rural community, especially in Southwest Louisiana, where there was, you know, of course, racism as everywhere else.
Absolutely.
How did you combat racism coming up through these times where it was a lot of crossing over? You graduated from high school in 74, 75.
1975.
Right. And that was, y'all had barely even integrated. Y'all hadn't integrated 10 years. How was that?
Yeah, well, let me tell you, we spoke briefly earlier off camera, but in 1965, when Hurricane Betsy hit New Orleans, I was 9 years old, and I was playing, it was called NARD ball, New Orleans Recreation Department ball. All the coaches, all the tutors and everything, they were all involved in the civil rights movement and got us as kids involved in the civil rights movement. So that's a portion of our history. I'm talking about African-American history that we kind of lost a little bit. Right. But one of my partners who I was telling you about, he's like my little brother, but we the same age, 6 or 7 years old. Ronnie Whaley, Detective Whaley, they still call him, even though he works for the DA. He had a boot camp down here, and we still try to educate the young generation when they want to listen. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of Brother Belton for doing what you guys doing. And people of my generation, the baby boomer generation, if we can do something to help you guys, we're going to do it. Because we're still involved. But we want to pass that knowledge on to you guys and that energy on to you guys, because you can take it further than what we took it.
That's so true. I'm glad you spoke on that, because that was actually something that I was going to kind of get into.
Yeah.
It's my generation. I'm 36 years old. Boom. 1986, tail end. Going into that January was 87. My father, like I said, unfortunately had passed away that February. So I was about 6 weeks old when he passed. Raised by a strong mother. Shout out to Debbie C. Y'all there at Elton right now. I know you probably ain't watching the podcast whenever it come out, but you know, I'll keep you informed. Anyway, I said all that to say this. I had a pretty decent community to show me the way, and she definitely was a pillar in letting me know what was right, what was wrong, especially when it came down to our people. I was always blessed to be around multi-ethnicities, all walks of life, all classes of life. But she always did remind me of what the struggle for our people was, is, and probably will be, or will continue to be, unless we pick up the ball, as in my generation and younger, and try to work through it. Yeah, it's been a little bit more tolerant when it comes down to the blatant racism. But it's still obviously there, and it's still something that needs to be worked through. So, yeah, with me saying that, in your opinion, what do you think would get the youth more involved in understanding how important it is to stand up for your community and actually not give these people a reason to X us off the map?
Well, just what you just so brilliantly articulated, that they need to get involved. You understand?
Absolutely.
and let me just briefly say this. I come from a place, I don't know if you ever heard of it, the Ninth Ward in New Orleans, Louisiana.
I've definitely heard.
The Desire Projects in New Orleans is bigger than Eunice because we had 20,000 families living in there.
In that project.
But fast forward, let me show you how history takes place to wipe out a lot of stuff that young folks like you need to know about, because New Orleans had 10 housing projects. Yeah. At that time, they had the Fisher Projects in Algiers, Louisiana.
Algiers.
But when Hurricane Katrina hit and everything was flooded, don't you know I was in New Orleans in October and only one project remains in New Orleans? They were all tore down to the ground and condominiums and townhouses was built.
It was built in a place, gentrification.
Eradicate the voting that 80% of African Americans had in New Orleans, Louisiana. Wow. The ratio now, I can't quote it to you, but it's not 80-20.
It's not 80, yeah.
Right? Be. Because every project has been tore down and new, like I said, condominiums have been built. But just to make a long story short, I didn't go to an integrated school. I went to all black. And you know what those teachers told us? You can do anything you want to do, because they knew what they came up from fighting in that system that we called racism, you know? Yeah. So they encourage us to do everything that we can do, you know, that God wanted us to do. So getting involved, that's what these young folks need to do. And right. People of my generation need to contribute something back in there to get them involved, you know, right. When they want to listen. Knowledge, money, time, whatever. I used to be, when I came to Eunice, when I got out of Marine Corps in 1980, I organized all kinds of sporting activities and everything, not only through the church, but just through community activism.
Yeah.
And everybody that you talk to, they know Cha-Cha.
Yeah, absolutely. And
Cha-Cha got together. That was my big brother, just like I'm Detective Whitley's big brother.
Huh.
And organization, community organization, community activism. Because if you're living in this community, you need to care something about this.
Care. That's it. That's exactly right.
Don't shut up from there, but that's what we need to do. And I think this is a positive start for what you're doing to enlighten people about not only their community, but Acadiana in a whole.
In general. Yep. Yeah. Oh, no, you hit the nail on the head, all points there, because I gotta be honest. It's going to take the youngsters to meet your generation halfway.
Amen.
Because you're absolutely right. There's a few things. See, there's people like you that's going to take the time out of their Sunday evening and jump on a live stream with a young buck like me. They got another group of folks around that age group that, you know what, these youngsters hard-headed, they don't care, they don't listen, they don't want, and they just turn the other cheek. And you know, honestly, I can't blame them. So, right. But it's gonna come down to us. It's gonna come down to people my age. And the reason I'm so adamant about it now, I guess, Mr. Tank, is because I have a 10-year-old son, and he's my only child. And obviously, he's black. You know what I mean? So yes. I want to know, I want to at least feel comfortable knowing that at least I can do is show him the ropes, show him the way, and kind of lead more by example. Because I could always just speak and be like, yeah, man, you need to pay attention to what's going on in your neighborhood. You need to do right by your elders. You need to do right by your black folks. But if I don't show him,
right,
I don't think he'll ever pick up on it, which is just adding on to what you said. Yeah. If you guys don't show us, then how are we gonna know? So again, appreciate what you're doing for even moving forward. You kind of spoke on what you guys had going on this year. Kind of elaborate on that, man. Are you guys trying to bring the boot camp back, or?
Well, brother Whaley has a plethora of ideas, that you know, I'm not gonna touch on right now, but we're gonna get with you privately and get with Jonathan privately, because just a little short story. I had a nephew who's in entertainment. He came back to New Orleans in October, the first part of October.
Yeah.
And we stayed at a place called the Hubbard Mansion, owned by a black millionaire. And Mr. Hubbard is probably 80, in his 80s right now, middle 80s. And before this year is out, I want to introduce Jonathan to him, because he was the first promoter, African-American, in New Orleans that had the Muhammad Ali Leon Spinks fight at the Superdome when it was built.
Wow. So he was the promoter behind that fight.
I want you to look him up, Don Hubbard. Very influential brother, still at 86 years old. And I want to introduce Jonathan to him, because the knowledge that he has for what Jonathan wants to do with
Vision, what he's sports, into, absolutely.
I think it's going to benefit him. But that's the circle of knowledge that we all need to take part in, you know?
Yeah.
And like I said, Brother Whaley is in that circle. Jonathan, now you are in that circle.
Absolutely.
And your 10-year-old son is in that circle. And look, let me just say this, bro. I'm proud of you for what you said about raising your son and bringing up a family, because the little things are important.
Man, I'm learning every day.
When you really think about it with your children, you understand?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I knew that when I got out of the Marine Corps, and I had one daughter who was 2 years old when we came back from California, me and my wife, and one was on the way. My son, who's 40, getting ready to make 40 years old.
40.
He was on the way in late 1980. So the little things are very important with those kids. And that's the kind of philosophy that myself and Brother Whaley try to bring when we get an opportunity to talk to young brothers and sisters. And listen, Earl, it's going to take all of us, black, white, our brown brothers and sisters, Asian, all of us who care about not only this community, but society as a whole, to raise up positive, educated, strong, young brothers and sisters. You understand? And I'm talking about the whole spectrum of God's children.
That's right.
It's going to take all of us together. You know, we know it's got racism, but we can overcome that. We know they got hatred. We can overcome that. We know they have ignorance, but we can overcome that.
Overcome that too.
if we keep that positivity, that's why I said I'm so proud of you, Jonathan, and some young folks who want to get involved. And yes, I'm gonna tell you like this: myself and Cha Cha had a statement that you can use. The barbershop is the country club for African Americans. Because at one time,
we
couldn't go to the country club.
He couldn't get in there.
All the conversation and all the political stuff, all the business stuff
was going on in the country club. You got to bring it to the barbershop for the black folks. That's right. So, to this day, it's still somewhat like that. But I know back, you know, at that magnitude of it.
Right.
You know, like you just explained, politically especially.
So that's what we need to get into. And we need to feed each other. Things that you knowledgeable about, hey, let me know. Things that I'm knowledgeable about, we'll talk about it, and we'll try to put things in motion to get it done.
Yep, that's like we like to say, each one teach one. That's the way we keep climbing.
Amen, brother.
Keep climbing. Amen. That's the only way.
Amen.
It happens not as much as you would think, though. It's so crab in a bucket.
Yeah,
but it, like you said, with love, We'll overcome everything. I'm sure that we can.
Yes, sir.
I'm gonna bounce off of that a little bit. I'm gonna go back. You are a retired corrections officer.
I'm actually retired from the casino. I did that for almost 20 years, 19 years and 7 months. I was
security. Okay. So you—that's where you retired from the casino.
Yeah.
Security manager.
I was the security manager at Coushatta Casino Resort for 19 years. Just a little short story about that. Myself and brother Achilles, Edward Achilles from Elton, Louisiana.
Another Elton native.
Three-time Vietnam veteran. He was in the Army. We worked at Allen Correctional Center, what was more affectionately known as Wackenhut.
Wackenhut. Yep. We all knew about Wackenhut back then.
Correctional officers over there for 4 or 5 years. And we had a team over there with Lieutenant Davis, Kelton Ficklin, Gabriel Castile. He was a tribal member of Coushatta tribe, but he was also a correctional officer with us. This was before the casino was even opened in 1990.
Well, they even built it, yeah.
Right. And when we heard about this new casino coming to Kendall, Louisiana, you know what we said? Me and Achilles. I said, Sarge. We used to call him Sarge, Sergeant Achilles. I said, Sarge, let's go to that new company and kick off the security over there, man, and see what's happening over there.
See what's going on.
So we brought 50 correctional officers to start the casino security program off.
Straight from the prison.
About 90 days, maybe 6 months after I got there, the vice president called me in. He was an old FBI agent. His name was Owen Odom from Crowley, Louisiana.
Wow. Shout out to Crowley.
Yeah, he called me in and he said, Tank. He said, we thinking about promoting you to supervisor. And you know what I told him, Brother Earl?
What's that?
I said, Mr. Owen, in all due respect, if I got to change my personality to be a manager or supervisor over here, I'll stay a correction officer or I'll stay a security officer on the floor my whole career that I'm going to be here. He said, no, we recognize you because of your personality. And he said, we want you to get in our supervision program. And that's how I became a supervisor over there. Like I said, if you go ask for Byron Minor at the casino today, they ain't going to know who you're talking
about. They ain't going to know you.
Everybody going to light up and say, oh, Tank need to come back to work over here. So
they need
how it started. And
yeah,
just to make a long story short, if you ever get a chance to talk to Curtis Lemoyne in Elton,
I'm sure I can. Holly, Mr. Curtis.
We had a family atmosphere within our security team that in 19 years, we might have had 3 major incidents over there, you know?
Well, that's stellar. They might have more than 3 major incidents in a 6-month period these days.
Yeah, yeah. Places was getting robbed around us and everything. We never got robbed in the
money. Never touch y'all.
You know, because people saw the cohesiveness that we had as a team. Yeah. And one key, I was talking with Brother Whaley about this the other day. I said, we treated people the way we want to be treated, with respect and dignity, and they gave us that respect and dignity back. So that was our philosophy, man. Even though we were security, we had the upper hand. We didn't brutalize nobody. Wow. We didn't try to, drag nobody out of there or anything. Right. We treated them with respect and dignity. That's why that casino is still there after about 25 years going on. It's 25, 28 year. But
that's true. Yeah. That's true. Because I was real, real young when they broke ground for that casino.
Right.
I was very young. But yeah, like you said, treating people like human beings, it goes a long way. Obviously so. I'm sure that comes with the military experience also.
Oh yeah.
Give me a story about what was going on in the Marines back in those days.
I'm gonna tell you like this. I'm gonna correct something that I didn't give you the information, or Jonathan didn't give you the whole information on that. I went to USL for 1 year. I went up there to play football.
Okay.
I was an impressionist, wild young man from the projects of New Orleans.
Yeah.
I was a hell of a football player. I was a linebacker. And I said to myself after spring practice and the summer practice, and we got into a couple of games, I said, man, I want a car. I want this. I want that. I don't want to do nothing illegal to get it.
You're right. But you know what you need.
But I want it. And after I met Vianna, Vianna Darby, who was Vianna Minor for 40 years, I said, baby, I said, I'm going back to New Orleans and I'm getting ready to join the Marine Corps. This was in my freshman year.
Wow.
I was 19 years old. I went back to New Orleans. I dropped out of USL. I joined the Marine Corps September 2nd of 1976. And I came back to Eunice, Louisiana in 1979 and got my bride because I told her, I said, if God meant it to be for me and you to get married, I'm coming back and get you.
I'm coming back.
3 years later, I came back and got her. We got married and we went to California. I had 1 year left in the Marine Corps. We had a 1 year honeymoon in San Diego, California while I was in the Marine Corps.
Shout out San Diego.
Outside of San Clemente, where President Nixon was living. And we came back to Eunice in November of 1980. And I've been here ever since.
Ever since 1980.
So in the Marine Corps, wow. I'm just gonna let you know, nowadays, kids can make a career of the service. We get a lot of negative things, people talking about don't go into service, and a lot of people of our race tell the kids don't do that.
I was pretty much told the same. I graduated class of 05, scored very high on the ASVAB. They was like, go to the military. I'm like, I'm good. So, yeah, I would like to hear some of the positivity.
Let me just tell you this point right now. I got 8 grandkids. Aaron, who was a student all the way from kindergarten all the way to 12th grade, he's in the Marine Corps right now. I didn't try to encourage him. I didn't try to discourage him. He's an air traffic controller. He's been in 8 years. 2 or 3 of his partners got out. One is in Australia, one is in Chicago, and one is in New York. They told Aaron, because I talked to him about 2 weeks ago, he said, Aaron, man, get out. You can get out and make a 6-figure salary being an air traffic controller. And just imagine, you already know all the news going on about the airline industry right now. What a trained military air traffic controller can get out and make in the civilian world. So that's one positive story I can tell you about being in the Marine Corps. You know, I loved every day I was in there.
Really?
Marine Corps didn't make me a man. I was already a man
when you got there.
from being that. But it taught me a lot of discipline.
Right.
It taught me how to work together with people from all genres and all races and all creeds. And it taught me, like I said, what we talked about at Cashada Casino Resort. Give people the respect and they'll respect you.
That's it. It's an obvious piece. A lot of folks don't get that. I swear, Mr. Tank, I done been a lot of places.
Yes.
And folks, they refuse to kind of humble themselves, if that makes any sense. You know,
right.
You get a little power. And that don't matter what race. It don't, none of that. You get a little power, or you get a little following. A couple of people recognize you as somebody that you may or may not even be.
Yeah.
They get to treating you different.
Right.
And it always causes friction. And it's to kind of add on to that. I know that goes on in the streets a lot, you know.
Yeah.
Somebody feels disrespected. They feel played. It ain't like back in the days, though, when you just draw a line in the dirt and, you know, you pick your hands up.
Right.
And get a scrap off and try to make it happen. You know, make it all good the next day. They shooting now. They killing.
Amen.
What would you say from your experience? Because you've seen the real deal. What would you say to this young generation who just don't think correct about this violence and how far they need to slow down? Like, how far can they take it?
Right. The thing about it, we have to know our history. We have to have respect for ourselves and our families. Mm-hmm. And we have to have respect for others. So I think my partner, and I'm going to keep mentioning his name because he got some good ideas, Detective Whaley, who boot camp, he was on the right track when he was doing that at the Eunice Police Department. So we want to incorporate a lot of that starting. And like I said, this year we got some plans to do some things. But if we can talk like you and I talking right now, mm-hmm. with not only young brothers, and I'm going to talk about my race, not yeah. only young brothers, but young sisters too.
Too.
Because they're doing yeah. some things. You know, you've heard about
yeah.
the Papa Lucy's and everything.
Yeah, it's been kind of, yeah.
This thing about weaponizing the civilians, and I'm talking about all over the
yeah. United, you know, that's nationwide. They just saying, get a gun. Yeah, I get it. I understand, but yeah. that ain't not down here. That ain't gonna solve much.
we don't need all that. I'm not a gun advocate. You know, right. I respect guns. Absolutely. I know what they can do. But we need to get back to finding out who we are, where we come from, and what type of respect we need to have for one another, you know?
Yeah.
And it's all about taking that one-on-one conversation, like you said earlier, each one reach one.
Yeah.
And when a young person give us the opportunity to talk to them, that's the kind of knowledge we try to instill in them, because if you respect yourself, you're going to respect others, and you're going to stay out of them situations that get you in that situation where your only outcome is to go get a gun
and violence.
Yeah, it's a complex yeah. situation, but it's not a situation that's too far gone we cannot solve. I believe that. And I'm going to believe that till they put me 6 feet under. So
that's right.
God knows, you know, we not only believe in God, because the Bible says faith without works is not dead. So it's going to take some works to get it done.
Yeah.
And for us to work together to enlighten our community. So, like I said, man, you keep doing the positive things you're doing, and we're gonna come together on some big things this year.
Absolutely.
We might be able to make a dent in the societal thing that's going on all over the United States right now with this
virus. Yeah, I like that plan. I like what you're saying, especially about the respect, especially about us learning our history.
Yes, sir.
You enlightened me to many things that I was not even aware about. Yeah. Just here tonight. Like I said earlier, I wasn't gonna hold you too long. Is there anything that you wanna kind of put us on the lookout for that you guys got planned that you can discuss? You know, I know there's certain things that kind of under wraps you won't be able to tell us, but you know, kind of fill us in on what we're looking forward to in the near future and what we got to keep our ear to the street about.
Well, like I expressed to you earlier, I don't know, maybe some of your listeners and watchers have been watching the news and everything. Governor Edwards, who's mm-hmm. term limited, this is his last term. He just endorsed last week Sean Wilson, an African-American who was over the DODT, because mm-hmm. Sean is running for governor. And he's the only Democratic candidate right now in the running for governor. Of course, we got Jeff Landry, who's the attorney general, Republican. And whether it's a Republican or a Democrat, we want the best candidate.
Right.
Governor Edwards endorsed Sean Wilson. That's going to be coming up. And hopefully we might be able to get him to Eunice. And hopefully we might be able to talk to Jonathan Belton's cousin, who is going to be aspiring for office. I'm not going to talk about it right now.
Oh, no, I know who you're talking about.
We want to get him down here in this area, because I think he's going to do some big things, you know. I'm going to leave you with this. My kids, all three of them, went to Grambling State University. My yes, two daughters, they graduated. One got their master's degree, one got their PhD. Wow. My son, college wasn't for him. Jonathan, he went to school, he became a welder, and he's doing great right now by the grace of God. Wow. But we need to enlighten our kids that's coming up, just like you said, your 10-year-old son. Yeah. He's going to learn by example more than what you tell him. And that's so how true. Kids learn by example more than what we tell them. They, let me tell you something. They watch us keenly.
Yes, they do.
Things. So we wanna do that. And we're gonna continue to pray. And in the near future, hopefully we'll be able to get together, because we campaign for Jackie Juju Valera in the city council election.
Miss Jackie, shout out to Miss Jackie. I know Miss Jackie.
But Jermaine Simpson won, and
yes, shout out to Miss Jermaine.
Get things done with that, but Jackie is my sister, and she would have made a big difference, but it wasn't for her. God, you know, God had something else.
Had other plans, yeah, something bigger and better as usual.
And we got to accept that.
Yeah.
But I want to do one thing before we leave. I want to introduce you to my partner, Detective Whaley.
Yes, please. Bring
who came here, and I'm going to put him on right now and just introduce you to him. Whaley, this is our brother Earl Nelson right here. And I'm going to let you sit down right here and holler at him right quick.
How's it going, Brother Nelson?
Oh, pretty good, Detective Whaley. How are you?
Outstanding, man. Outstanding.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Wonderful day. Wonderful. In a reaction you and Mr. Byron is, well, y'all just had. Mr. Byron is like my big brother. And he used to, before I came to Eunice as a police officer in Eunice, he was my supervisor at the casino in Kendall for like 5 years, man. I learned a lot from that guy, and he was best supervisor I've had since I left the military.
Let me just say this for a minute, Brother Earl.
Uh-huh.
Whaley is trying to be politically correct with that Mr. Byron stuff.
Big Tank, God dog, you know. Big Tank. Big Tank is out. Look, whenever Jonathan told me about the episode, he was like, Mr. Tank, Big Tank. I was like, okay, well, what's his first and last name? He's like, nah, they know as Tank. I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah. I get the same. You can look at the bottom of the screen. You tell them Earl Nelson, they don't know who I am. You might tell them Black Earl or Haas, they're going to know exactly who I am. Other than that, it's sideways.
But look, that's Tank, so he's good to go.
Good people.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
We want to say, keep doing what you're doing, man.
Absolutely.
God has a plan for you, and whatever we can do to help, we're gonna help, man. And we're gonna come together on some things later on this year, because 2023 is gonna be, like I said, a big year, not only in Eunice and the surrounding area, but in the state of Louisiana.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I appreciate you gentlemen's blessing moving forward. Like I said, this is a very young production, man. This might be episode 9 or 10. You know, I just figured it was something I could do in my downtime. I've done a lot of the music and making videos. I've done a lot of the, y'all tried to see me work at every restaurant they done had the past 10, 15 years until I just got on with the post office. Now you probably see me hopping out the mail truck everywhere. Honestly, just to say that I'm a regular guy with a young child. I happen to be African-American. I happen to have been through a few things. So I love to get the knowledge from fellas like you guys. Try to pass it to my knuckleheaded, hard-headed son in there. Hopefully he can kind of pick up off of what I do, but just adding on to what you fellas were saying, it's all about the leadership. They ain't gonna do it if we say it, but if we, you know, if they watch it and see it, then they gonna end up doing it. So I really appreciate you fellas' time, and we will be looking for all these power moves moving forward.
Yep. To God be the glory.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Fellas, I appreciate it. Yep. Detective Whaley, you had something else you want to tell us?
No, I just want, for right now, I just want to tell you, man, keep doing what you're doing. That's outstanding. For young Black African-American male, just like Tank mentioned, hey, man, this is outstanding. This is outstanding. And this is what we need to try to get our people back on track the way they should be, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, I'm all for it. We are going to have something coming up here, hopefully in the near future. And I want to make sure Tank notifies you of it. And we
absolutely
on top of it. And I like for you, we'd like for you to be a part of it. So, hey, right now, just keep doing what you're doing. And it's outstanding. And it was a pleasure for me sitting here listening to this, man. This was outstanding. This is outstanding.
I absolutely appreciate that. And look, man, all my information gonna stay the same. After the podcast, we'll make sure to reach out to each other. Detective Whaley, if you would like to give us a full episode anytime in the near future, it's just one little email away, a little click of the phone. If you got a phone in your pocket, we can put together an episode as well, because I'd love to hear from you, your input on what you got going on also.
Thank you very much, sir.
That's yes, sir.
And I'm going to pass it back over to Tank. And
yes,
I'd love to meet you as soon as possible. And we're going to try to do something for our community.
Yes, sir. ASAP, I'm fully for that. I am fully for that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Detective. And Mr. Tank, you got anything else for us before we shut it down?
No, brother. All I got is Godspeed. And to God be the glory. And I'm proud of you. And keep doing what you're doing. And like Brother Whaley said, we're gonna meet up one day. We need to go eat lunch and chop it up one day when you have a chance. And
absolutely
keep doing what you're doing, bro.
I so will. I absolutely appreciate that. I look forward to chopping it up with you guys in the future, man. To all you listeners out there that gave it a second round, I appreciate y'all for listening as usual. Y'all know where to find it. Spotify for the audio, YouTube for the visual. Y'all know where to reach me at on Facebook. Black Earl Haas, or the Earl Nelson page, Instagram, same thing, at Black Earl _ Haas. Yeah, man, very enlightening episode. Learned a lot. If you jumping onto this late, please go back into the catalog. We got plenty more where that came from, much more coming in the future. So, as usual, y'all keep it 101.
All right, brother.